Well, back in July, when the first Sunday of July, and we had communion, I shared a few remarks that day about blood covenant. I wanted to share it since we were taking communion, and it kind of turned into a message more than just a couple remarks. You know how that happens when somebody gets behind the pulpit, it just kind of hits you. And but we didn't get it recorded because it was just to be a few remarks of sharing. And some people expressed a desire to have that, to be able to share it with others. So we're going to attempt to recreate the moment from July. I don't know how well we'll effectively recreate that moment, but we're just going to trust God and believe God that He's going to create a moment today that's going to speak to our hearts. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We've been studying covenant in Sunday school, and there's so many things involved that I won't go into a lot of detail about the whole beginnings of blood covenant, but God is the initiator of covenants. He is the one that started covenant relationship in the very beginning. And when we studied about it, there are three basic reasons for blood covenant. The first one is love and devotion. And this is one from the scriptures that we can see in David and Jonathan. They were two young men. David was anointed to be king. Jonathan was Saul's son. Saul was the king at that time. And they loved each other. In today's day and age, they try to make it look like it was a homosexual relationship, and it wasn't. Just two men that loved one another and were devoted to one another. And that's a love and devotion. They made a covenant with each other. The second reason for blood covenant is protection. In ancient history, you might have a tribe that didn't have any warriors, and they didn't have any way to protect themselves when other tribes would come against them. So they would make a covenant with another tribe in their area that had warriors, and they would covenant together so that whenever they were in trouble, they could call upon this other tribe and for protection, and that tribe would supply the protection for them. So we have love and devotion, protection, and then the third one is equality. And it has everything to do with that everything that one party has becomes the possession of the other. It's a shared thing. We see this in the beginning of the church in the scriptures when it talks about they had all things in common. A lot of people like to interpret that it became a commune. You know, they all moved in together and lived in this one big place. And it wasn't about a commune. It was about covenant, because they had come in to the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, they had that relationship with one another that anything I have is yours, anything you have is mine. And if I'm in a situation where I need something that I don't have, I can call on you and you'll readily supply that for me because we're in covenant. Because we have love and devotion for one another. Because we're there to protect one another. And because we have equality together. So those are just some examples from the scriptures of those three reasons for blood covenant. And whenever a blood covenant was made, the final procedure in making a blood and making a covenant was a covenant meal. And this is where we see in the scriptures the things beginning to take place about our covenant with Jesus. So if you would turn to Luke 22, and this was a covenant meal. Jesus and the disciples were celebrating the Passover, and God had told the people to celebrate that. That was initiated in Egypt when God brought them out of Egypt. They had to put blood. They had to sacrifice a lamb. They had to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the doorway, over the top and down the sides. They had to roast it and eat the lamb. They had to be prepared because God was going to protect everyone under that blood, under that sacrifice and that covenant. And the spirit of death was going to be moving through Egypt because God was judging the land. And if they followed this procedure of the Passover, anyone within their household that was under that blood was protected from death and was saved through that experience. And then the next day, God brought them out. They all came together and came out of bondage to head for the promised land. But this is what the disciples and Jesus were celebrating. They were remembering the Passover past, the things that God had done in the past. And verses 15 and 16, Jesus says to the disciples, the 12 apostles, he says, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Jesus had been waiting for this moment and this opportunity, because not only was in his going to the cross, he knew he was going to die and pay the price for sin to be the sacrifice, but he was fulfilling this Passover. The Passover that happened in Egypt was a type and a shadow of what was to come. It had elements in it of the Passover and the sacrifice that was to come in Jesus. And Jesus was excited about this. He says, "Man, I have longed to celebrate this meal." It's like he's saying, this is why I came. This is going to be fulfilled. This is the last time this is going to be this way. They may continue to celebrate it, but he's going to fulfill it. He is going to be the Passover sacrifice. Praise God. And he says, "I've had this desire to eat this meal." In Jesus' mind, I don't know where the apostles were in all this, whether they really comprehended what was happening at the moment, but Jesus was celebrating covenant meal. All the things had been done that was necessary as him being born in the earth and his ministry. Everything had been accomplished, and he was going to celebrate the Passover meal because everything was in place, that he's ready to be sacrificed as the Passover. The real, full, complete fulfillment of Passover is about to take place. And Jesus says, "Oh, I have desired this." He's going to establish a new covenant. When they came out of Egypt, God established the old covenant with them. We refer to the old covenants, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, brought them out to Mount Sinai to meet with them. And he made a covenant with them of the law. And it wasn't the perfect covenant. The law was perfect, but it wasn't the perfect covenant because it couldn't really do what God wanted to do, and that was bring them back into a full right place with him, because they were dead in their sin. But it was a temporary way to deal with the sin so God could have fellowship with them and deal with them until Jesus could come and really make it happen. And Jesus is ready for this to happen. He knows the new covenant is just about to burst forth, and he is excited about this. He says he's desired it. One of the things in the covenant process was when tribes or individuals would come together. Sometimes they did it in different ways, but many times they would slit their wrists, make a cut, and the two people or the representatives of the two tribes then would mingle their blood together, or they would allow their blood to drip into a cup of wine. And, you know, we kind of all go, ooh, ooh, you know, we don't like that idea, but it's a serious thing. Covenant was a serious deal. They were doing in the natural what represented this bond that was happening between them, whether it was individuals or whether it was tribes or nations. And they would mix their blood in the wine and drink it. The Bible tells us life is in the blood. They were sharing their life with one another, saying, "My life is yours, your life is mine." And then also within this process, then they would feed each other a piece of bread. And that bread represented their physical life, their very being, of all that I have of me, I give to you. And all that you have, you're giving to me. It was that exchange, the exchange of the force of life itself from their blood as well as their lives. And it's saying, take me, all of me. I'm yours. I am yours, whatever you need. And covenant was forever. Covenant was not something that happened, oh, I just need a little help for a couple of months, so we'll have a little covenant here. Covenant was forever. It's much more serious than just a momentary thing. It was forever. And if you broke it, you died. It was a serious thing. If someone ever made covenant with anyone and they broke their covenant, they died, because it's so serious. One of the things that we can see in still, hopefully, in this day and age about covenant and all of this, marriage is a covenant. And you can see so much in marriage of how Jesus and the church and the covenant with Jesus is to function, or even at you as an individual and Jesus, how that covenant is to work. There's love and devotion is why you come together in marriage, protection, and equality. When Gordon and I were married, I took his name because now we're the same. There's times when I choose not to speak for him, but legally, I can speak for him. He can speak for me. We have the same name. We're the same. We become one. When you marry, you become one. It's covenant. It's forever. Unfortunately, forever hasn't been working well in our society for a lot of marriages, but the idea is still there. The reality of the covenant is still there. And the whole process of this coming together, this oneness, this sharing, this being able to sign one another's names on things, equality, it's this, and this is forever, protection for one another, the strength of one helps in the weakness of another. All of that you can see in marriage, or at least that's what marriage should be about. Unfortunately, today, people don't really marry for those reasons. But it's all about covenant. And communion that we're going to be celebrating today is all about covenant. And if you've been raised in the church or been in the church for very long, it's possible that communion is nothing more than just this little ritual thing that you go through every so often. Some churches, they do it every week. Some churches, maybe every month. Or for us, we do it 4 times a year generally. And it can be just a ritual, but it's not. It's about covenant. It is a serious thing that we are in covenant with God. I want to turn to Galatians, if you'd like to turn there with me. Galatians is here somewhere. Praise you, Jesus. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it tells us about Jesus' sacrifice, that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then if go up to verse 9, I know this is reverse of the way they're listed here, but verse 9 says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. In this covenant that Jesus made, he brought us into the covenant that God made with Abraham. Jesus is the fulfillment of the covenant God made with Abraham. If you remember, there was no law to be obeyed when God made covenant with Abraham. Abraham believed God. God called him and said, come out of your people and go to a place I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you a great nation. And through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And Abraham did. He just followed him. He believed God and he followed him. And there wasn't any law to have to abide by. A lot of times we don't look at Abraham because we're still living under that old covenant law. Well, old covenant law didn't exist when this covenant was made with Abraham. And Jesus has brought us in to the blessing of that covenant. And within that covenant with Abraham, God just came to him and said, hey, follow me. I'm going to use you to bless the whole earth. I'm going to make your descendants as the sand of the sea, as the stars of the sky. You're going to have all this heritage. And everywhere you look, I'm going to give you this land. Just, I'm going to do this, and through you, all the earth is going to be blessed. And anybody that blesses you, I'll bless them. And if they curse you, I'll curse them. I'm going to do this for you. I'll be everything for you. And all Abraham had to do was believe. There wasn't a bunch of laws and rules. He just had to believe. And that is what Jesus has brought us into, is that same style of covenant where God did it all. Now, later on, God required of Abraham that he would be circumcised as a natural sign of the covenant. But even that was a temporary thing until Jesus could come and make all this happen in fulfillment, in completion. But the covenant, it's an unusual thing, because when you think of two people coming together, so to speak, or two nations or tribes, they kind of laid out, well, you know, we have this and this and this, but we don't have this and this, and you do. So we're getting together with you because you have this and this, but you don't have this and this and this. And if we work together and make a deal here, make this covenant, then we can have all these things. We can both have all these things as we share them together. Well, when God made this covenant with Abraham, God provided everything. God didn't request anything of Abraham other than just follow me. Follow me. And this, and it's believing. Following is believing. And Abraham believed him. And this is what Jesus has brought us into. That if we will believe Jesus, Jesus has made the whole supply of everything. He's not saying, well, you have to bring this and you have to bring this. He's just saying, believe me. I'll supply everything, but we're going to have covenant. And I have everything. I can have everything of yours and you can have everything of mine. It's just you don't really have anything but you. So I just want you. You give me you and I'll give you me. Everything I have, everything Jesus has, all we have to do is believe and receive all that God has. Anything you need in your life, from as far as getting right with God, dealing with your sin, God made provision for that, and you can receive it. If you have sickness in your body, God made provision for that. You can receive it from him. If you have need of food or shelter or money to pay your bills, God says, I got it. I got it all. You believe me. You just follow me. Just follow me. Just do whatever I say. Just follow me. I'll take care of everything. I will take care of everything. Praise God. All we have to do is believe and receive. And this is what God is offering us and what we're celebrating in the bread and the cup of communion. And sometimes we get lost in the fact that they were celebrating Passover. And we kind of look at it as, well, this is our ritual that we do to remember Passover, you know, because it was the Passover meal that they were celebrating. And, you know, and we haven't shifted to the new covenant. We haven't moved over into what Jesus was doing, because remember, Jesus says, oh man, I have longed to celebrate. Well, I'm sure he celebrated Passover the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that, because Jesus was faithful. He didn't miss any of those things. So he had celebrated Passover before. It wasn't just, he's saying, this one, I have longed for this one. Let's go back here a second to where we started in Luke. Luke 22. He says, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He's telling them, I am the fulfillment. I am going to fulfill this. And the next time we share Passover, it's going to be because of what I've done. It's no longer just the blood over the door in Egypt that we remember as to what God did. It's now, my blood is going to be over you. My blood is going to be over you. You're going to be safe under my blood. And all the death and destruction and stuff that goes on out here in the world, if you'll be in my house under that blood, you've got protection. You've got everything that I have, everything that you desire. Praise God. All we have to do is come into Jesus. This is not just a religious exercise. Let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 11. And Paul is sharing with Corinth about communion. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, we're going to start in verse 23. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I wanted to begin in verse 23 because these things that Paul is sharing here, he says, Jesus told me this. He's not just recounting something that, you know, he had heard about in his lifetime from the disciples. He says, I received this from the Lord. This is what he told me about that night when he was betrayed. Because this meal that Jesus has said, you know, oh, I have longed for this. These are the things that he said at the meal. Paul got these things from Jesus. He didn't get it from reading the New Testament, because the New Testament wasn't there yet. And he didn't get it because he hung out with the disciples that were there. He got this from Jesus. And he's saying, Jesus then said, you know, take, eat, this is my body. This was covenant meal happening. The bread that they were sharing at that Passover meal, Jesus is saying, this is my body. I am giving you my body, all of me. I'm giving you all of me. And then they took the cup, and we've heard from, you know, the tradition teaches us that there was a special cup for the Messiah that was always sitting there, and that he took that cup and he drank from that cup. He says, this is my blood of the covenant. This is my blood. I am shedding my blood for you. I am coming into covenant with you. I am offering you covenant in me. So praise God, that's what we're going to do today. Now, I want to just look at the rest of this. I don't understand necessarily fully everything that's being said here, but there's just some things I want to share that I believe can help us as we take communion today. Because more than anything, for me and for all of you, I want communion to become this reality of covenant with Jesus. That we come up out of just the religious practice and we let it be what it really is. That we're coming into covenant with God. We're coming into the fullness of all the promise of God that he made to Abraham and that he has secured for us in Jesus. Now he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That Jesus is that sacrificial lamb. He is the Passover. He is the covering. He is the sacrifice for our sins. Now, in verse 27, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. I don't know about you, but I can remember from all my years growing up in church, what was usually stressed with this scripture is before you partake of the communion, you need to examine yourself to see if there's any sin there. Because if you just ignore that sin, you know, you don't want to be unworthy because you need to repent of that sin before you take the cup. And I am not making light of repentance, but that was what was stressed, that it's just a time to look for sin and confess it if it's there. And if you have sin that needs forgiven, well, you need to confess it and get it forgiven. But that's not why we're celebrating the bread and cup today. He's saying, in an unworthy manner. Now, when they took of that communion with Jesus, they weren't even born again yet. Because Jesus hadn't died yet. So there wasn't a worthy one of them there as far as sin goes. They were dead in their sin. But yet, Jesus says, oh, I have longed to do this with you. I'm excited about this. And I want us to look at this today and not look at it as, I have to look if there's any sin in me so that I'll be worthy to take communion. You are worthy to take communion because Jesus died for you. Not because you're so sharp. Not because you're so perfect or live some sinless life. You don't. No one, he's the only one that did. He's not looking for sinless perfection. He's already accepted you. God has already received you and accepted you in Jesus. So it's not a matter of you making sure that there's not any sin that you've forgotten to confess, so to speak. That's not unworthiness. But he says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat and drink. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I believe what Jesus wants us to see as we take communion, that we realize what's happening in the bread and the cup when we receive it. This isn't about, you know, well, if you got all your sins confessed, you can take communion and it won't fry you right on the spot or something. It's not that at all, you know, or judgment won't fall on you. It's an unworthy manner is that you don't receive it for what it is. You don't take the covenant. You don't take what God's offering. Because all God is asking for you is for you to believe what he has done in Jesus and to receive it and to walk in it, to let it be a part of your life. Let it come into you and have its effect. That's what he wants. That's what would be unworthy is if we take it and really don't mean it, really don't realize what's going on here. So that's what we want to avoid. It's not whether you've got a sin yet in your life. It's not whether you're perfect. The blood has made you clean. The blood has done the job. It's not about looking for that little hidden sin. It's about, do you believe what Jesus has done for you? That's what we want to look at. Because he said, if you don't receive the covenant for what it is, if you don't take the covenant that's being offered, now this is a scary statement, but for this reason, many are weak and sick among you and sleep. It means they're dead. God is serious about this covenant. This covenant is to prevent us from being weak and sick and dying early. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wild? And we can tend to look at that and think, well, if I don't take it in a worthy manner, if I've got some hidden sin and I take communion, well then I might just get sick and die because that's the judgment that's going to come on me. It's like, no. If we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. If we judge ourselves as, Jesus, I believe in you. I'm taking this for what you have done. I'm receiving your life. I'm receiving this covenant with you. You did it all. I can't do anything to get rid of my sin. You can only receive what Jesus has done. Let's have our ushers come forth, and we're going to celebrate the body and the blood of Jesus. And we're going to receive this as Jesus wants it. This is covenant taking place. This is covenant taking place. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Covenant taking place. Go ahead and pass it out. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus told them, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, just like it's being passed out to you today. And Jesus says to you, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't do this as this is the ritual that our church performs. This is the ritual that helps make me right with God because I take communion. Some people have been trained that way, if you don't take communion, then you're not right with God. Jesus says, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember today and believe today what Jesus has done for us. Praise you, Jesus. In Isaiah 53, we're going to see what his body did. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. This is what happened in his body. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus took our sickness, our pains, our sins, our mental torment and suffering, sickness and disease. In Matthew, when it refers to this, it refers to sickness and infirmities, weaknesses. Most people have some kind of weakness in their body. Some it might not show up, others it might show up in a big way. Maybe, you know, there's just a weakness sometimes in a body that is susceptible to serious conditions and serious diseases. Or maybe some of it is we're just susceptible to weak eyes. Or maybe just weak muscles. Just simple weaknesses. But Jesus took all that in his body. He says, I have carried this away for you. Remember this as you take of this today. Remember that I've carried these things away. Remember, this is covenant. I'm offering you my life. I'm taking all you had to offer. You had sin and sickness and disease and iniquity and weaknesses and infirmities. You had all and torment. That's what you brought to the covenant table. Awful, isn't it? And sometimes we're still living in it. And Jesus said, give it up. I put it in my body. I took it in my body so you don't have to. Remember this when you eat this bread. Remember what I've done. Remember what I've done. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you today for your death on the cross. We thank you for what you did in your body, what you took from us in your body so that we wouldn't have to. So that we could have your resurrected life in us, that we could have this exchange. Jesus, we receive your body today in this bread as life, health, strength, peace of mind, freedom from sin and sickness and disease and weakness. We receive it, Jesus, as covenant, and we believe you, Jesus. Our part of the covenant is we believe you. We believe what you did is real. We believe what you did is true. And we're going to walk in it, Jesus. We're going to release our faith and walk in this and let it manifest in us. Thank you, Jesus, for your body in Jesus' name. Amen. You may eat. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, if you would, gentlemen, you can pass out the cup. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus said to them at the supper, he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. All through history up to this point, there was always an animal that had to be sacrificed. Every year, there was always the sacrifice. And we've just come through that season, that sacrifice of an atonement, where there was this animal, this lamb that was brought in and had to be killed and shed his blood to just cover their sin for another year. There, even within that process, there was another animal that they would confess all the sins of the nation on, and they would let that one go out into the wilderness, and it would, quote, carry away their sin for the year. But Jesus says, this cup, it's the new covenant in my blood. My blood is greater than the blood of goats and calves and lambs and rams. My blood is greater. My blood does greater things. In Ephesians, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Not only do we have the forgiveness of our sins, this is we have redemption. This blood, this represents Jesus' blood. It doesn't become his blood. It represents his blood. His blood redeemed you out of the hand of the enemy. You were trapped in Satan's hand. You were born trapped. You didn't get there because you fouled up life. You were born trapped in the enemy's grip. And Jesus' blood redeemed you out of his hand, brought you back in to the Father. And it says, for the forgiveness of sins. But the reality is, there's more to just forgiveness. A lot of times it'll say atonement. The day of atonement that we just passed, atonement means covering, that it covered sin. For a year after the atonement sacrifice was accepted, for a year their sin was covered. God wouldn't have to look at it. It was just a covering over it. Jesus did not cover your sin. He took it away. He took it away, washed it away, did away with it. In Revelation, it says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Washed your sin away. Now, as we look at this today, don't think of it as, well, God's just not holding my sin against me, or maybe he's covered it up so he doesn't see it. He's washed it away. Scriptures tell us he perfected us once forever. You, in your inner spirit man, you have been perfected. You have been made sin free, clean, through the blood of Jesus. It's not just covered up. God doesn't just say, okay, well, you know, I'll let it go today. But if it happens again, we might have to deal with this. Sin is gone. Sin is gone. Any sin you might have right at the moment, maybe that you haven't actually repented of, you can go ahead and repent of that. But when you repent, you've got to remember, because of the blood, it's gone. It's not just, okay, well, we won't count that one this time. It's gone. It says that the handwriting on the note, this spiritual eternal list of sin that's been written down, it says Jesus' sacrifice removed the handwriting. And it says the meaning of that word is like it took the indentation off of the paper from the pen that wrote it. There's not even indentation. You can't use the page beneath and rub a pencil and find out what the list was. It's gone, 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 gone. He's paid for your sin to wash it away. That's what he's done in this covenant. And he's saying to us today, as you drink this, remember, I have cleansed you of sin. That means we can't be hanging on to it in our mind. We can't be fretting and worrying over it or thinking about, man, my life's just messed up because I've got sin and there's nothing that can ever be done. It's been done. You don't have to keep hanging on to that. You don't have to be eaten alive by that one thing that you did that you knew was wrong. Oh, you knew it was wrong. And you've prayed and you've said, I'm sorry, God forgive me, but it still hangs there in your soul. And every now and then it just comes up and grabs and, see, this is what you're really like. Remember, I have washed away. This is the new covenant. This is the glory of this new covenant. You don't have to do anything to pay for your sin. You don't have to read enough scriptures or pray enough times or say enough certain phrases or words. You have to believe what he did with his blood, and that's washed us free of the sin. That's all we have to do is believe it, and it's gone. And if your mind remembers it, then you need to tell your mind, stop remembering it. Remember it from a standpoint of, praise God, it's gone. That's not me anymore. Paul says, I've wronged no man. Paul was a murderer. He had people killed before he came to Jesus. But now he says, I've wronged no one. Because sin has been done away with. Even if you do it tomorrow, this will still cover it. It's still cleansed if you'll just accept the cleansing. That's all it's about. Just believe that it's cleansed. And that's a challenge, isn't it? To just pick up and go on and just say, God, thank you. Thank you that you've forgiven me, and just move on like it never happened, because most of the time we're moving along like it has happened and we're still stuck with it. We're not stuck. Praise God. Jesus has washed us clean. Let's pray. Jesus, as we take of this cup today, we receive this as your covenant with us. You gave your blood. Your blood was perfect, holy blood. Sinless blood. And there's no way to be cleansed without the shedding of blood. And you did that for us. You gave your perfect blood to cleanse us, wash us completely free of sin. So Jesus, today we receive this by faith. We believe that what you did with your blood was real and that applies to us. We're going to receive that forgiveness. We're going to walk in that forgiveness. We're going to let go of all the sin. And if we happen to trip and sin, we're going to just thank you that you paid the price, and we can just put that under the blood with all the rest of the sin that happened beforehand. We can just leave it under there, because that is your covenant with us, that you will continually cleanse us. If we'll just remember, if we'll remember your blood with gratitude for what you've done, It will just stay clean. You'll just continually cleanse us all the time. Your blood never quits working. It never quits working. It works every day, all the time. Jesus, thank you for your blood today. We receive it as life from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I would encourage you today to remember the covenant that we have. Maybe you're doing all this and I'm preaching to the choir. You know, who knows? But if there's any one of you out there that you have been living under the ritual of communion, that it just being a reminder that you've sinned, a reminder that Jesus had to die. Yes, he had to die, but he doesn't want us to live in the grief that he had to die. He wants us to live in the covenant. He says, I have longed to share this with you. It was a hard thing for him to do, but he knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to make us clean. He was going to make the way for us to come back into fellowship with him and the Father, to be made new, to have the life of God put back inside of us, made brand new creatures, washed away all the sin, and even carried the sickness and the disease and the weakness and the trouble. He took it all. Let's walk in that. I know we're all probably in different places with that, but let's walk into greater measure of it. Greater measure of it. Every day, just, Jesus, you made covenant with me. We celebrated covenant in church today. We celebrated this covenant. Jesus, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to live in this covenant. I'm going to live in a healed body with a peaceful mind, a brand new spirit, cleansed and free from sin and all its effects. I'm going to live in that new life. Let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you for this message today. I thank you, God, that you are causing it to come alive in a fresh way in our hearts. I thank you, Father, that even if we understood it all, that just hearing about it all over again just causes joy to stir up inside of us from the wonderful covenant that you have made with us in Jesus. We thank you and praise you today. Jesus, thank you for paying this price. Thank you for being willing to come and live as a man on the earth, to come and live in our situation, but live perfect and upright before the Father. And thank you for going to the cross, for being willing to be beaten and hit and poked and stabbed and ridiculed and spat upon and hung up on a cross and disgraced before the whole world. Thank you for being willing to do that so that we could be brought back to life and made alive in you, made alive with your spirit and raised up to life with you. Thank you that we have this covenant, Father. Thank you that we can live in this. We can believe you. We can learn to live in this place with you. We can learn to live in your kingdom now. Your kingdom of God, your kingdom of heaven. We can live there now because you have put it in our hearts. We don't have to wait till we die and go to heaven. We can live in those realities now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. We're so glad God raised you back up to life and made all this possible. We thank you that we are righteous in your sight, free of sin, perfect and holy, accepted in the beloved. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done through your sacrifice. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you.